Blog Talk Radio.
I got that good new smile on my face. I got that feeling that the world can't erase. There ain't a single day I let go to waste. I got that good new smile on my face. I got that beat, beat, beating in my heart. I got that gospel song rocking in my car. A little light gonna get me through the dark. I got that beat, beat, beating in my heart. All joy, no stress, no worry, I'm blessed. From early in the morning to the crickets in the sun done set.
Podcast. Got a great show for you. I got my buddies Jamie Mazingo and Jacob Gregory calling in. They're actually going to be live with me for the show. So this is pretty cool. So fixing to get them on the show. All right, so be just 1 minute, and I'm going to get them on the show here. So y'all come hop in the truck. We are live. What? Y'all come hop in the truck here. We're live. What's up? Man, hey, if you would, pull that out and just set it on the ground. Just make sure you don't damage it.
Well, I was just going to slide it over a little bit.
Okay, that's cool. Man, so we are already live on the show, Blog Talk Radio. And great to have y'all. Let's see, hold up just for a second. Let's see. And so we're live. We got a great show for everybody. We got Chase Montgomery going to call in later in the show. And thank you to Jason McMillan with the 110 Nation Sports. And then Thank you to Chris Creighton with Race Chat Live, also the voice of the House of Hook, Why Not Motorsports Park. Thanks, Jason, and the 110 Nation Sports, or the 110 Nation Sports for this show. So we got Jamie Mazingo here, and then we got Jacob Gregory in the back there. So this is cool that y'all are actually live in person. So he's grinning like a possum over here. So Jamie races the 48M Iron Horse late model, and then he also races the 48M 602 late model.
And the Vintage.
Yeah, and the Vintage, that's right, the Vintage. And then Jacob races the 11G Pure Stock, right?
Correct.
All right, cool. So for those that's listening, I want everybody to share the show. Tell everybody you know where you're listening to it at, Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, thank you, Robbie Johns, with Race Safer Fuel Arrestor. The show is put on by Race Safer Fuel Arrestor. And, by the way, if there's any business that would like to sponsor the podcast, local business especially, let me know, and I'll get we on that. So tell everybody about your racing with your late models.
Okay. Well, we started with an older chassis, an old Warrior, 04 Warrior chassis, just to get into late model racing. Really didn't have anybody to help us. Monty Skinner jumped online with me and helped me set my car up for Iron Horse. But we started it with a 602 series just to get into late model racing to see if we liked it. Liked it, but just didn't have a good enough updated chassis to keep up with everybody, and decided to just step out of it for a little while. Tri-County over in Pollard had come online and built the Iron Horse class, which was designed for some of the older chassis to be pulled out of the woods and put back on the tracks. So we got into the Iron Horse and took our 602 motor out of it and went to Iron Horse racing at Tri-County, and have learned a lot about late models from that, and with Monty helping me with some of the setups and all of that. And Jamie Bolden up at Trackstar, he also set my car up with, gave me a good set of shocks, and or set me up with a good set of shocks. And we started Iron Horse racing a couple of years ago, and I really liked it.
So I think the Iron Horse is the best late model class you can get into, the cheapest late model class you can get into.
Yeah, it can be. It's supposed to have been set up for like a $3,000 buyout motor. And that's what the class was designed to be a low-budget late model class. And we built a low-budget motor, and we have an older chassis, and we've done really well with it.
That's great. And a shout-out to Tri-County Speedway, the Day family. Shout-out Miss Marilyn, Isaiah, Joshua, and, of course, Chuck Day, the whole Day family, for putting this class on. It's great. So where are you at in points?
I think I finished seventh. Had to miss several races due to work and also due to family trips and stuff. I only get a couple weekends off a month to be able to race, and that's the bad thing about working in meals sometimes, is you only get a couple Saturdays a month to race, so I don't get to race full-time like some guys do.
Maybe one day that's in the cards, you race full-time.
Whoever wins the lottery, it might be. But you got to play to win, right?
That's right, got to play to win. So the current points leader is D.G. Hawkins. Of course, he's walking away with it at 544 on points. And in your points, so... Yeah, you're in seventh at 271 points.
Yeah.
So you're not far from Johnny Howell in sixth, which is 292. So that's cool. It's a good field. And I'm looking at my race pass, and it's showing 20 cars at one point have raced Iron Horse this year.
That's correct. Probably one of the better classes that Tri-County has had this year, the car count being consistent.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't have but 8 cars, but like I said, you know, some people don't get to race every weekend, so half of us get to race one weekend and half of us get to race the other weekend, and it happens to be that way sometimes.
So which you like better, the Iron Horse or the 602?
I really enjoyed the Iron Horse. I know a lot of the guys that I race against, and we're real good. I mean, I say we're real good friends. We're racetrack friends, and we talk about setups, and we – we talk about the cars and how well one's car does on a wet track or one does on a dry track. And DG, talked to him several times at the track and stuff. He's got some good equipment, and he's a good driver. So that's a good reason he's a points champion. He is good at what he does.
Well, next year you coming for that championship?
I've got some plans. needless to say, I got plans, but I don't know if I'll make champion or not. But I got plans to put some more trophies up on the wall.
Man, you got everybody excited on that one.
I hope so.
That's awesome, because the Iron Horse class is good. 602 is good at Tri-County. And everybody that's listening, y'all need to come out this weekend. I don't have my tickets with me, but I got 35 free tickets. So Cuz told me he said Bump wants one. He's getting one for his son and his friend.
That's right.
And then I got one for my dad, and I got – oh, you need any free tickets?
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot you.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I get to miss the best race of the year. Because my buddy that works against me at the mill, or we work side by side on different shifts, and there's only two of us at the mill that do my job, he's taking vacation. So I get to work at the mill while everybody else gets to go play in the dirt.
That's a buzzard look, ain't
it? I know, right?
you just kind of almost think, well, he planned that on purpose, so I wouldn't have to.
No, I wanted to kill him when he first done it, but oh well. If I had to kill him, that means I wouldn't be able to where he's any, so I had to cover all of it, so I can't kill him right now.
Oh, man, that's great. And them tickets, did I show you what the tickets look like?
No, I hadn't.
All right, so I got a picture of it, and for those that are listening, this is what the tickets look like. They're actually hard tickets. They're actually thicker than a daggum. They're almost like a business card.
Oh. Those are neat.
Those are really nice. And then on the back side of them, I'm going to zoom past my ugly, but the back side's got a Bible verse on the back, 1 Corinthians 15:57.
Be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's cool, isn't it?
It's nice to be able to race at a track that is Christian-based, as Mr. Chuck Nim's track is. It's really nice to work with folks like that.
I agree, because I tell people all the time, that they're good Christian folks, and I make sure to mention it on this podcast, and they got me as an announcer now. So now I can, you know, share Jesus, you know, at the racetrack. And then this Sunday, for those that don't know, go to our Facebook page at Tri-County Speedway. This Sunday we're doing a free breakfast buffet at the racetrack. So that means, you know, your rednecks love to eat breakfast, so we're going to be there. And then they're going to have a church service after the breakfast, and then they're going to race at 3 o'clock. So that's cool. It's not often you go to a racetrack and they have a church service. They did that one time at East Alabama, and that's the only time I remember actually going to one.
We've never raced on Sundays. That's always been the Lord's day to us, and we decided that we just was not going to do it. You know, it don't matter what the money is, whatever. We just park the cars. That's where it sits at. A lot of people use Sunday as a wash day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wash on Sundays. Oh, no. I do what I got to do around the house if I have to, because, like I said, I work a lot. But as far as racing goes, we've never raced on Sundays, and Mr. Chuck and them are all big churchgoers, and it's real nice that they are getting a church service at the track, and that gives an opportunity for maybe someone that needs to know about the good Lord to –
Because, look, I was telling Ike, I said, look, because, you know, last year he said, oh, I'm not gonna go race because of the church service. I mean, because I'm not going to miss church. But then I didn't realize they had a church service at the racetrack, and they told me several weeks ago, they said, yeah, we're having church service. I said, well, I don't feel bad about missing church because I'll be at church one way or another. You know, at this time it'll be church at the racetrack, which is kind of neat. Because when they did it at East Alabama, you can ask Ike this, the preacher got up there, and it was a decent amount of people in the stands, maybe 20 people or so, but it was still cool. And the preacher, to use his sermon, he had a CD player and played a kid's song, and to make his sermon, it was some kind of little kid's song, and he made his sermon. It was really good. I don't remember the sermon, but I just thought that was neat that they did that. So now we'll go back to Jacob here. All right, so tell everybody about your season.
Well, it was all right of a season. Started out pretty rough with the motor blowing up, but it got the motor fixed and went on to, I finished last on my second race because I had some issues, but I had a total of 5 races, and the last race I run, I finished in the top 5, so.
And this is Jacob. This is a little history behind Jacob's racing career. He has not had a racing career. This is his first time actually driving a car this year. He helped us, one of my pit crew, last year, and we got him involved in dirt track, and he really fell in love with it and decided he wanted to be a driver. And me and my dad took it upon ourselves to help him find the car. He found the car, and we went over the car, and, of course, not all race-ready cars are race-ready, but we found some issues, and we fixed issues, and the motor gave up on him, so we have him motor built. And for a first-year driver, he has done real well. Mechanical problems plagued us, but hopefully we're working through all that and getting that settled.
And he did make one race last year, right?
No.
Okay, I was thinking you made the last race of the year.
No, I went to that the practice.
We went practiced.
Okay, you went practiced.
To see how we needed to finish setting the seat and all up in it.
Okay.
We didn't have the seat quite right, so I wasn't going to run it.
There were several issues that other car builders that build some of these pure stocks let get by that I won't let get by. Safety issues, seat mounting issues and stuff like that that we don't do unless it's right.
Yeah.
Don't want nobody getting hurt, so
we
try to make things right.
Tell everybody, so high praise come from Fred Flintstone himself, LJ Fogg. Tell everybody what Fred Flintstone told you about your racing.
That I done pretty good that last race at Tri-County.
So that's pretty big praise hearing that from Mr. Flintstone, because, look, he's from the town of Bedrock. So.
Yeah, LJ. LJ Stone himself.
Look, he can build a race car. I believe he's one of those people that could win a race backwards blindfolded and not think twice about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That man knows how to wheel a car. No matter what track you go to or what he gets in, he is a driver.
And his car, like, it's the Flintstone mobile. I mean, if he didn't have a motor in it, you'd probably see his feet pedaling.
I think my second race, he passed me like 5 times. Every time I turned around, he was coming by me.
Look, he usually wins most of the time. He wins by a full straightaway. But I think y'all may have missed the race where they had the 3-wide racing.
In pure stock?
Yes.
At Tri-County?
Yes.
We were at Deep South that night.
Okay,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we went to another track that night.
So that was at Deep South. So, LJ, it was him, Wesley Holmes, the 52, and young Ethan Pickering, who came on the show a few weeks ago. And I was talking with Ethan about this race when he came on like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. They was 3 wide for like 4 or 5 laps. I've never seen that in my life. Ethan had the lead, and then LJ would take the lead, then Wesley would come on through there. And if Ethan Pickering hadn't slapped the wall, he would have probably won the race on the high side because he was doing the high side hustle. And I've never seen that. So maybe we can get Jacob in there next year and get him a...
Not on the high side. He makes me nervous. I got to fix the car.
last time I run the high side, I rode the wall at Baker.
So that was a costly...
Yeah, look, that night he thought he was Bo Duke and thought he was going to yeehaw it. And that yeehaw didn't work that night.
He did yeehaw it, that's for sure.
Because I was sitting there watching it, and he smacked the wall, and I said something, and I was like, and I ain't going to repeat, but like he smacked that wall, it scared the dog doo-doo out of me.
I rode it for halfway down the back street.
But that's quite an experience. But
some of the things said the best lessons are bought lessons, and he bought that lesson.
Yes, he did.
And went, turned around, got the rear end fixed. I bent everything up in the rear end. And on.
Well, they say if you're going to do it, you better do it big. So.
He done it big.
I bent everything from the front to the rear up under the car.
Man, I hated that because you was in third place, wasn't you?
Third.
I mean, you was flying. Me and my side was like, man, Jacob doing so good. I was so excited. The next thing I know, here comes Luke Duke coming out of turn 2. Bam!
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
We'll get off of Jacob. Quit picking on Jacob now.
Yeah.
But for Jacob's first year in just four or five races he's been in, a lot of times you got to use your head more than you got to use the gas pedal. And it sometimes you just got to do that. And that may not pay off with a win, but it pays off with you loading your race car up on the trailer under its own power.
That's right.
Rather than the hooks coming to get you and hauling you off battling for 15th place.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes just use your head a little bit. But I'm teaching him to calm down a little bit on the track and learn the car, and he's gonna do well next year.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. So,
have either one of y'all thought about doing a race page on Facebook? From Mazingo Racing and Gregory Racing.
It's been years ago, but some of my first guys I raced against actually had me a website built, and I posted on it for a while, and it just got to where I had too much going on and I couldn't keep up with everything, you know, having to work on the cars, do my regular work and do all of that. And now owning a business on top of doing, I work two full-time jobs basically. So I don't have time to do much of anything.
So is the website still out there?
I looked for it not too long ago and I couldn't find it. So I wonder if it's just been taken down.
Oh, I don't know. If it was still up there, you might could send it to me and I could...
We may make another one.
Yeah, Mazingo Racing, and then, of course, Gregory Racing. And reminds me of, I know y'all know Fred G. Sanford. Sanford's son.
Oh, yeah.
He said, my name is Fred G. Sanford. The G stands for go and goodbye. So maybe next year, Jacob would say go and goodbye and win him a race.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that.
I ain't going to set the goal up that high yet. I gotta learn the car some more.
There you go. That's smarter than the average bear, eh, boo boo?
You
got a picnic basket.
I was happy at Tri County with a fifth place finish and didn't have a bunch of stuff tore up. So
that's right.
Absolutely. A little bit of sheet metal, but it wasn't his fault at that point because he had a guy spin in front of him. He had nowhere to go. Collected him a little bit in the right door and just a little sheet metal and straightened it back out. A little hammer, a few rivets and.
And look, Deepside Speedway, like I've seen the video somebody posted, and he had a rocket ship of a car, and what was it, the 57, or who was it that came down?
14.
That's right, the 14 of Cody Wood, that's right. He come down, and Jacob had nowhere to go, and bam!
A lot of times when you're stuck on the back stretch and you can't really turn around to see what's coming, and it was under caution, so he was going to pull off of the wall. Out during caution and started headed down, but Jacob was right there on him and he didn't see him, and that was all she wrote for the right front and the right side door again.
And Cody's the points leader up there because
it wasn't Cody's fault. I mean, it was
just a freak,
just
deal.
A thing. It happened.
Yeah, just a freak. And so of course Deep South got their championship points tomorrow night. And so anybody that races Pure Stock, go to Deep South tomorrow night because you'll see Cody Wood and you'll see Kane Long, driver, Colton Sinclair, duke it out for the championship. So that'd be cool to watch.
It's so bad, I don't even remember what day it is. That's bad. Jacob had to remind me about the podcast tonight.
So I'm glad y'all got to be on the podcast. I just got done with the Wild Game Supper up there at the Southwest Alabama Wildlife Federation was cooking wild game food. And I'm telling you, I had some wild game tonight. It was pretty good.
I always like it.
Oh, I had some. Tompkins Baptist Church had some smoked deer sausage. That was fine. But it was
Did he bring you any, Jared? I mean, Jacob?
You know what?
He didn't bring me any neither.
I
so.
Didn't bring up. I'll tell you what. You give me $20, we'll go back up there and we'll.
Well, I ain't gonna give you $20. I go get my own $20 worth of food. Hey, I do want to tell you that you done a really good job the other night at Tri-County for your first announcing job.
Thank you.
We were really tickled about how good you did on it to be your first time announcing, and a lot of good comments came about from different people. And
I had y'all told me that, and then Ike told me, and then Miss Marilyn and some of the track people told me, and then I've had people reach out to me on Facebook, and then
you and Ike told me, they said, look, because y'all were telling me how good that is, and y'all said, well, dang them. I said, y'all said, well, look, if you'd have done bad, we'd let you know.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind giving my personal opinion about something, whether you like it or not. But
hey, I like honesty, so.
As if I do something wrong or right or whatever, I want someone to let me know. You know,
yeah,
that's
constructive criticism.
That's absolutely correct. If a driver sees me doing something or something I might need to change on my car, hey, talk to me, brother. I mean, I don't mind. It may be the right thing or it may be the wrong thing. We'll figure it out after the next race.
So I just don't need to say wow.
Yeah, don't lay off of the wows. But
so tell us a story about that.
Yeah, we had a friend that was an announcer at a track, and he just kind of got handed the mic. One of the situations where it just fell in his lap whether he wanted it or not, and he done the best he could do. But his favorite word was wow, and it was every pass, every move, every wreck, every start. That was his one word that he used the entire time, and bless his heart. That makes it right. Right. So I advised against using Jared against using the word wow so many times. So.
Look, he told me that beforehand, and then I got a Facebook message or a text message, one of the two, before I got in the tower. He said, look, lay off the wows. Or no, wait.
I'm going to
look that up because I want people to listen to this because you sent it to me on Messenger, I believe.
Yeah, I sent it to you on Facebook Messenger.
Because I actually caught myself several times saying wow and something else. I was like, man, and I was thinking in the back of my head, I was dead serious.
I know.
Man, he just told me not to say that.
I know I sent it to you on Messenger, didn't I?
Yeah, it should be, I think.
I don't know, all the way back up in September. So.
It was last race. And I know for a fact. Let me look in my Messenger too while we got. Let's see. You know what? Let me type in. I know it wasn't through text.
Oh, that's what I told you was less woohoos. I told him, I said, you're doing great, buddy.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And, it's so easy announcing. It's not hard at all. But if you're somebody that's never done anything like that before, then you'll be as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But because I did all the videos and recording the videos and announcing on my videos, I got a microphone I hook up to me. And because I did all that, then it just come easy and natural. And Miss Marilyn said, oh, you did a great job. So now I'm excited for Saturday night and Sunday night. And it's gonna get wild with me in the booth.
I can imagine. I wished I could be there for it, but
because so Miss Marilyn, I asked her. I said, look, can you please get a picture or just a picture or video? And I was just thinking, you know, hand her my phone, just one picture and you know, like a little medium sized video. Next thing I know, I look in the reflection of the glass on the tower and. And she's taken several pictures, and, she's got her phone out doing all kind of videos. I said, daggum, this is cool. And then she tagged me in on Tri-County's Facebook, and that was kind of neat. And you hear me talk about at the end of the race, the Iron Horse race, of course, I say something about Digi winning. Oh, the 11 runs back into the 20. My goodness. He was on the last lap, and the 11 run smacked through the 20. I said, okay, then.
All righty.
Yeah, you just don't expect that on the last lap of a race, but that was neat, though. So I know Jacob will be glad when he gets back to racing.
Oh, yeah. My plan is to put a brand-new body on it, so maybe I won't tear it up as bad starting off the season.
And we'll have new sheet metal to straighten out.
it's gonna be pretty to start off.
It's going to look good to start off with. I don't know how long it's going to last.
So what colors were you going with again, you told me the other day?
I ain't decided. I'm back and forth on it.
He has told me enough colors. It's unreal how many colors he had done figured out he was going to do. And
So this is my suggestion to anybody doing a race car. Don't do black and don't do white. That is the ugliest colors in racing.
But guess what color my car is?
It is black.
It's black and white. So.
But look,
now I know how you feel about my colors.
But look, the main reason I say black.
I inherited those colors, by the way, so that was the body that was on it when we bought the car. So.
That's right. And I like his car, so I'm not going to talk bad about it. But the reason why I say black is, as a photographer, my camera hates black cars because when they go around the racetrack and that flash goes off and it takes a picture, it doesn't focus on black cars as well because it's so dark. And I like bright, bright colors that just pops, you know, red, white, blue, orange, something, whatever.
And green.
Yeah, green. I love green.
My vintage is green.
Yes, I love – yours is Stoplight Green.
Stoplight Green was the paint code for it.
I love that color. And then you got electric green on your white car, which is cool.
Yeah, that was the numbers on it. We always tried to put green on everything we had done since we started this, even though that's supposed to be a bad look thing for a car, a race car.
Yeah.
We just always liked bright colors. And when we painted our first car, I was just looking through the paint book, and I seen that bright green color, and I said, I like that. So,
yeah.
So we painted it bright green. And
That's the color. I love that color. I love colors like that. Like Craig Crosley always had the bright pink. And then, of course, you had Caden White that's got the electric green. And then
he had the bright orange at one time,
orange,
and then
yeah.
He's got bright green now. And Jay Dodson. Jay Dodson always had a bright green car.
Yeah.
He said his was, I think, a Mopar color code or Dodge color code on his.
So he's got, have you seen his non-wing sprint car?
Yes.
So it's basically black with the green on it. And, of course, that's his signature, him and his dad. So I can't wait to see him race that non-wing car. It'll be fun.
I've seen a video of him on practice, I think it was, or it may have been one of his races. They didn't have just a few cars at the time, but the car looks good.
Yeah. And I don't know what – I didn't ask him what year it is, but that non-wing sprint car is because Robbie started the low-book sprint car series. That's the best thing to happen in this area as far as sprint cars go, because nobody knew who non-wing sprint car racing was until Robbie came up with the idea for this area and brought it to the table. And I was like, man. So now it's like it's been blown up around here. And I'd love to see Tri-County race non-wing sprint cars. Would you drive one? Either of y'all drive one?
Drive anything with a steering wheel, but I can't drive a nail.
That I do believe.
Yeah, that's what they make nail guns and drills for.
That's cool.
I may not be the best in the world at it, but I'd love to do it.
So let's do a 180 and do a funny racing story. And this just popped up in my head. You're going to remember this. The story of we're going to go way back when, or as David Letterman would always tell Regis Philbin, we're going down memory lane. So we're going back to Flemington Speedway. It was 2017, 2016, somewhere in there. And tell the story about your buddy old Wayne Plunkett, what y'all did that night.
Oh, let me see. Let me think. Jared, you know I've been up since like 4:45 this morning. Then you're going to bring this on me. Was that the Black Flag night?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Well, Wayne got out on the track, and he was racing in a pure stock class, I believe is what they called it then.
Yeah.
And he got out there and got roughed up a little bit, and I think he decided that that was a little bit too much and decided he wanted to do a little roughing himself. And, of course, who was a flagman? I'll think of his name in a minute. Ron. NASCAR Ron.
NASCAR Ron, that's right.
NASCAR Ron gave him the old black flag, and he come off the – had to end up coming off the track. And did we meet him at the trailer with a black flag?
Yeah, so the funny part was, like, it was after he punted that driver into the middle of next week. He got him good. He punted him like a football. Like, he literally crow-hopped that race car. Bam! And then Jamie said, well, I'm gonna watch this, y'all. He went back in his trailer and found a black dish rag and redneck rigged it to a pole and gave him a black flag.
He come to the trailer park beside us because several group of us always parked beside each other and helped each other. And I gave him the black flag when he got it. He was just a grinning. He didn't care. It was all about getting out and just having fun driving a car. He didn't really care if he won. He placed 15th out of 15 cars. It didn't matter to Wayne. He's just a good old guy and just wanted to go out there and play. But
I got a picture of that somewhere.
And Wayne ain't no little fella. I look up to Wayne. I'm 6 foot tall, so I mean he was a big fella. And,
yeah. He doesn't race anymore, does he?
No, he had to kind of just gave up on it. I think he ended up getting married and just went a different way than the track.
Okay. Wow. So is there any classes? Yeah, you can turn that off.
You got me roasting over here.
Press it one more. One more, yeah. So, is there any classes that y'all would want to try? Maybe, because I know Ike wants you to try the Crown Vic class at Mobile International.
Yeah, we built the Crown Vic, and it was a good car. Built it for Tri-County when they first come out with the Bomber class. And I was going to drive it, and because I had raced in previous classes before and hadn't been out of racing for 2 years, they wouldn't let me drive it. And I didn't find this out till we were almost through with the build because that wasn't in the rules package. It was in their rules, but they haven't posted that out on the internet yet. They just posted the specs for the class itself, but not the actual, hey, you drove in a class before, you can't run this class. So my dad decided he'd drive. He said he wasn't going to be outdone and realized that he can't see through a helmet. And we ended up just selling the car, and the car ended up going to P.J. Dickerson.
And
P.J. won several races at Tri-County with it, turned around and won several races with it at Deep South. I think every one of them that he ever entered in Deep South, he won.
He waxed the field at Deep South.
And it was a stock car. It was nothing.
Them Crown Vic. So y'all basically bought a grandma car.
I did. I worked with a guy, and he told me, he said, hey, I got my mom's car. And Big Jim, the guy that I bought the car from, just retired. So he's 65 years old, and he was like 63 then, and it was his mother's car.
Wow.
And it had been sitting. We took the car. The fuel tank was messed up on it, so we took the fuel tank out, cleaned it, put a new fuel pump in it. Put a new wiring piece on the alternator, cranked the sucker up, and it run perfect. He said they couldn't get it to run because of the fuel tank. And it was the actual fuel pump in it. So we put it together, and we had a couple of folks that come in and just gave us some parts to roll cage. We just cut the top off of it and put a roll cage in it.
Because, you know, Ike told me he was scared of it. He's like, man, he drove, like, what, 4 or 5 races?
A couple races. He didn't race very much in it.
And he said, man, he just scared. I said, no, man, you got to keep going. I kept trying to encourage him, but he didn't want to.
He just couldn't see. He said he gets tunnel vision looking out that shield, and then when they throwed mud in his face, that was just showing up bad. So
wouldn't it be cool to see if they had, like, a mechanics race? I would love to see Ike at least win one.
They have other tracks have done mechanics race in the past where they, you know, just let them just mechanics drive. And if they drove in a class before, they don't get to drive. Just your mechanic. And it's been fun to watch some of them.
Yeah, I enjoy that because, of course, that and the powder puff when they let the ladies get out there. But
I got the opportunity to flag the powder puff at Baker one night.
Really? That's awesome.
At Northwest Florida Speedway. I get the name right. I always call it Baker, but
yeah. That's cool. Yeah, it's over there in Baker, Florida, or Blackman, Florida.
Blackman, yeah.
As the sign says. Basically, Blackman's a suburb of Baker, which ain't much.
It's a spot in the road.
If they didn't have
the track and the service station?
Yeah, they got a track and a country store. That's it. And then when you get into Baker, Baker's got restaurants, auto parts stores, that kind of thing. But Baker's smaller than Grove Hill.
Crispy's right on down. It's south, about 20 miles south of the track.
Yeah.
Something like that. But anyhow.
Yeah. I've never been to Crispy, but I have been to Baker. And yeah, it's about like Grove Hill. It's just a little redneck town.
And shout out to Scott Sessions from Northwest Florida. I got to actually go watch a couple of races at the end of the year, and that track surface looked wonderful.
So that was there. They had a mighty fine season up there at Northwest Florida, because that last race we went over there, that was nuts. That vintage race, they started out with like 20-something cars and finished with like six.
Well, not the vintage. That was the vintage had 11 or 12 that night.
Yeah, that's right.
But the pure stock race, that was the big race. They had 20-something cars in it and ended up finishing like 11.
Yeah, that was a wreck there.
But there was some It was a mighty fine, good racing that night, too.
Oh, it was, because the track was good. Scott had that track.
That track was on.
Yeah, had it on point. And was you there with us that night?
I wasn't.
No.
Oh, you wasn't? Okay. Because Cuz was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, me and Jason, we call him Cuz, but me and Cuz and my dad was in the stands watching.
Is Cuz listening to the show tonight?
Oh, I don't know if he's got the link right now or not.
Okay, I forgot to tell him. I think I may have tagged him in the post. And he texted me about, you know what, I got to text him back. He texted me how many tickets I got left. But I got to know, in case you're listening, Cuz, I got enough tickets for you, Bump, his friend.
He's supposed to be sending me how many he needed. But he hadn't sent that to me yet.
Well, yeah, because, look, before y'all leave, I'm going to get them to y'all.
Okay, we appreciate that.
And my next guest is Chase Montgomery, so I'm about to get my buddy Chase Montgomery. Chase is out of Tennessee.
Okay.
And if y'all want to listen in to Chase, you can ask him some questions if you want to. But he's got several racetracks in Lexington, Tennessee, that he goes to. And he just joined the Southern Dirt Track Report, which is cool. So shout out to Chase and shout out to Artie for running the Southern Dirt Track Report. So y'all got any sponsors y'all want to shout out?
Jacob?
My aunt's beauty salon on Magnolia Corner Salon and Watley Timber Company are my two sponsors.
Okay. So shout out Watley Timber Company because they sponsor you too.
Yeah, Watley Timber Company has been one of my long-time sponsors. They've been with me for several years. Turner Construction, Josh Turner, has always helped me out. He's a good friend of mine. Got several smaller sponsors that have helped us out in the past, and this year pretty much kind of been on our own. Didn't know what direction we were going to head.
You got
Gerald Ball with Ball Construction.
A.K.A. Coon Dog.
Yeah, Coon Dog.
The Coon Whisperer, as I call him.
I can never do this correctly. I always forget people. My Uncle Wright's Auto Leonard Wright in Jackson, Wright's Auto Sales, is always sponsoring. I hadn't really hit him up for sponsorship this year because we just kind of been doing our own thing. But they've always been on board with us, Wright's Auto Sales, Watley Timber, Gerald Ball Construction, Josh Turner Construction, Kim Kelly Tires has always helped us out here in Grove Hill. If it wasn't for Leah, she supports me 100%. She don't always go to the tracks, but she knows this is something that we've been into since 2006. And
are you chickens and goats?
But yeah, my chickens and goats, yeah, always. They're my favorite fans.
Because, look, if you get mad at your chickens, you can always make chicken tenders out of them.
Mm-mm. Can you make chicken tenders? They give me eggs. So make chicken tenders, you have no eggs.
So Kelly's Tire, Grove Hill. So y'all go, if you need any tires, go see Kim Kelly.
Go see Kim in Grove Hill.
And then if you need any cars, go Wright's Auto Sales in Jackson.
Yes, sir.
And then Watley Timber Company, so that's who Jacob works for, so... So yeah, if y'all have any timber needs, y'all be sure and call Josh Jackson or his dad, Billy.
Billy Jackson.
Billy's the owner. So.
And Josh Turner Construction, he's one of our house builders around here in Grove Hill, and does any kind of carpentry work, construction work.
So hit up Josh, and then also Gerald Ball. He works for Daniel, his son now. It's Daniel Ball Construction, but shout him out. So they. If y'all need any housework done, hit them up or hit Josh Turner up. Those two are the best in the area. I can attest to it. I've seen their work. So, and that was awesome. So while we got them live, we're going to get Chase Montgomery in. Let me make sure I got the website still pulled up. So Chase is still listening. So this is kind of neat right here. So this is our dashboard here. So I got it set to desktop site. So while I got the dashboard, that's not good. No. Okay, good. It's still out. Whew, I just refreshed my web browser. Didn't mean to. But it's got all kind of options here. So check this out. So I'm going to hit the cheers. So I'm giving y'all claps for coming on the show. This is cool. Y'all are my first, because I did Talking Dirt for 2 years, and then I did this one started half the season. Y'all are my first guests to actually come to the house. This is cool. This is.
It was a long drive, Jared. A real long drive. It took me 7 minutes to get here.
All of seven minutes.
Minutes.
Wow.
7 minutes.
Wow.
Remember that word? Don't use that word. Don't use that word.
All right, so let's get Chase Montgomery on the line. All right, so, hey, Chase, how you doing, buddy?
Good. That was funny.
Man, that's great. So we got Jamie and we got, Jacob. I forgot him for a second. But, golly, I'm slipping, but we got Jacob in the back of the truck. So how you doing? So you got any big races you want to talk about?
I went to – so first I'm going to say, I thought that was funny. You said about the 6 minutes and said, wow.
You said what now?
I thought it was funny. Yeah, I made the joke and said, wow.
Oh, look, I've got to not – when I go to the racetrack Saturday night, I hope – I'm going to stop myself from using that stupid word, wow.
Get you a zip tie and zip tie your finger where you'll look at that finger and say, why have I got my finger zip tied? Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to use wow.
But then I'm going to say, wow, my finger is zip tied.
Wow. That sounds about right.
So what race did you go to last weekend, Chase?
I went to North Alabama. It was the last minute. We're going to go to Edwards, Clay Hill, but they rained out, so we left here at the last minute to go to North Alabama because they paid $2,000 for modifieds.
Woo, that's a big money.
That Tri-State Series?
Oh, yeah, the Tri-State Modified Series. If you look them up on Facebook, I think that's the one that, if I'm not mistaken, that is the one that
Riddle
shoot Luke. Yeah, Luke Riddle drives a 28 car, him and his wife. So his wife is the announcer, or excuse me, she's the promoter at Duck River Raceway Park over in Tennessee, which is where I went to when I went to Andrew's wedding. But, yeah, but that's a good series. I've never seen them, but that I follow them on Facebook, though.
That's the first time I've seen them in person.
So how did it go? Was it a lot of cars?
Yeah, they had 29 modified, several other classes. I said 29 modified. So that was my first time there, ever.
Oh, that's cool. So I've never been to North Alabama. So where, isn't it in Wetumpka?
Tuscumbia.
Oh, Tuscumbia, okay. Because I saw them on Facebook. I just couldn't remember where. So is it a real nice racetrack?
Yeah, I watched the Hunt the Front series a couple months ago, and I love how the things they ran the show and stuff. And, of course, they've done the same thing when I went down there. That's a nice place.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah, the Hunt the Front, man, got to give a shout-out to Joseph Joyner, of course, Jonathan and them and their dad, John. I think the world of John Joyner. If y'all ain't ever met John Joyner, y'all need to meet him. He's a good Christian dude, and he's one of the finest people you'll meet at a racetrack.
I got them at Why Not for the Street Stock Nationals. I got to wave at them, but I didn't get to talk to them, though.
Oh, look, I hope you get a chance to meet them because they're really, really good people. They're from Florida. Of course, their home track is Southern Raceway, and then they just bought them a new shop over there, which is cool. And those cats are really cool. Every time, like before they moved off real big, every time I would see them at a race, I'd always see, I think it's Jonathan, the younger one, I'd always see him go through with his GoPro camera for their YouTube, and that was cool. And I'd, you know, speak to him and wave at him, and a lot of times you'd see him go around the track with his GoPro getting videos of them, and that was neat.
Yeah, David Gravel just won the feature at Charlotte.
David Gravel. Do y'all follow David Gravel? Y'all ever watched him?
I don't think so. I don't.
He is one of the baddest sprint car drivers in the country. Well, I take that back. He's up there among the elites. I'm not going to say he's as good as what's the one that won at Deep South this weekend?
Sammy Swindell
spanked him at Deep South this weekend. I didn't get to make it, of course, but David Gravel, I follow him on Facebook. And I watch his Facebook reels all the time. And he posted a video the other day of a racetrack he was at. And it looked like that sprint car was doing every bit of 130 miles an hour around that racetrack. When he come around that wall and that camera, it just shook the ground.
Oh, I'm going to promote some more tracks this weekend. Clarksville, they got their modified 2000. Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee National Raceway, Tennessee, they're running one more race. Just a regular show. Who else? Oh, Riverside's running their big race. Sprint. And
so where is Riverside at?
West Memphis, Arkansas.
Oh, it's in Arkansas. Okay. That would be cool to go to Riverside in Arkansas because I've heard that name, but I've never really looked them up.
Yeah, I've never been there either. And I think Sammy Swindell and Eddie Gallagher, I think they're racing.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, those are some legends right there. Yeah, okay, Riverside International Speedway, Memphis, West Memphis, Arkansas. So I do follow them on Facebook. Okay. Wow, check that sprint car out. That's cool.
Is that a two-seater?
Looks like it, yeah.
That's a two-seater.
Yeah, so they got a two. So I'm looking at Riverside's Facebook, and they got a picture of a two-seater. That's cool as grits. It's a patriotic car, and it says the ditch on the side of it. So, Chase, how would you like to ride in a two-seater sprint car?
That'd be awesome. I was thinking that, was it this week or whatever? That'd be so nice if I got to ride in.
Oh, yeah, and look, tell everybody about your experience. You got to ride in a car recently, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. My friend Jarrett Melton modified. So after – I just got to ride it twice. So I was waiting on Golf Track after Tech, and he motioned me to come over to ride with him, and then he won. I got to go in the infield, watch a race in the infield. I liked it better. Then after that, I got to ride back with them to the trailer.
That's a cool experience because you've done something that I hadn't done yet, so that's cool.
And it's the first time I ever got to watch a race in the infield. I liked it better than the stand.
Yeah, because you can see more. You can pay more attention more, can't you?
There was another thing.
I get dizzy.
The front-wheel drive, they call it Hummers and stuff. Well, one car had a problem, and they raced backwards.
Wow!
It was a really good race.
There was a track in Grand Bay, Alabama, Sunny South Raceway. It's like a little quarter mile asphalt track,
yeah,
and they run stingers there. And when I was running stingers in 07, 08, well. The stingers there never knew which way they were going on the track. When it come time for the feature, they'd flip a coin.
Oh!
So you couldn't set your front end with a camera caster and all that to make it turn. Their rules were your tires had to be straight up and down just like it was riding on a highway.
Wow!
So you never knew which way you were going to run the track.
That's nuts. I've never heard of that.
I didn't never get to see them run it backwards. The night that I actually ran there, it was a good toss-up, and we run the track like you're supposed to run a track.
Wow, that would be fun to try, wouldn't it, Chase?
Yep. Yeah, so they asked them on the race series, they asked them if they wanted to go backwards, and they put a thumbs up, so they done it. I thought that was so cool. It was a photo finish, too.
I bet it was. Did you know the driver that won?
It was real close. One driver thought he won. Another driver thought he won. It was, like, so close. I think it was Jerry Walker, I think.
Wow, that's cool. I bet that was, like by a fender or by a nose.
Yeah.
So, are you going to a race this weekend, right?
I'm probably done for the year.
Are you done for the year? Okay.
Yeah, so I'll probably watch the finals. I might watch Clarksville too. I watch
well, that's
2000
cool.
2000 modified race.
Well, Well, there should be a lot of modified for that race.
Yep.
So what has been your favorite race so far this year?
Man, it's been so many. I don't know if I have a favorite.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I wasn't at the race, but I watched it on TV, the Lucas Oil Championship when Moran and O'Neill was going at it. They kept pulling sliders.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, the real deal, Hudson O'Neill. I bet you he did awesome.
Yeah.
And he won that, didn't he?
He won the championship, and then Shepherd won. He ran out of gas. And right now, I'm watching the late model A-Main World Finals.
Wow. Okay. So you're watching it on Race on Texas?
Dirt Vision.
Oh, Dirt Vision. Okay. Oh, I like a lot of them servo. Like every time Race on Texas does a free preview, because I don't pay for a subscription because I don't need any extra bills. But I watch their free preview all the time, and I love it when they go to the Boot Hill in Texas. They got a hot speedway, which is Heart of Texas Speedway, and there's several others they go to. And it's just fun to watch these different. Like to watch the factory stops, to watch the mods. It's so much fun to watch on Race on Texas because those announcers, they get animated like I do. And it's just cool to watch them in so many different cars, too.
I think Hot Speedway, you said, I watched them live it was like a month ago. I really liked the track and I liked the announcers. The racing was good. I think that ranch, South Texas track I sent you, I'm probably going to watch that race.
Okay, cool. I think it's Heart of Texas Speedway. It's either that one or I can't remember the one, but they have that big race they do every year, where they pay $50,000 to the winner, and it's the endurance race. I forgot, it's the largest endurance race in the world. It's at Heart of Texas Speedway. It's either there or it's other.
Oh,
Kenny Wallace races it.
What is the name of that race?
No, it's not I-55. It's
the Lone Star.
Yeah, Lone Star 600. That's the name of it.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the Lone Star 600. And
you made me reach way back in my file cabinet. To figure that one out.
Look, you had to put some grease on the filing cabinet doors.
I know, right?
But, yeah, like, so Chris, Kenny Wallace. So Kenny Wallace raced that a few years ago. And also I got to give a shout-out to David Lindau, or Alan Lindau, excuse me, Alan Lindau. So Alan Lindau has the Mighty Mouse. Have y'all ever seen the Mighty Mouse car? All right.
Seems like I have, Jared, but I'm not real sure.
All right, so I'm gonna look up Alan. He's on my friends list. So when y'all get a chance, y'all got to look up Alan Lindau. Cool, cool guy. So it's a L-I-N. So he came on Talking Dirt podcast a few years ago. And this is back when Deep South was going to do that huge endurance race for $10,000 to win. So Alan was going to come down, and so he's got the spike and spiked hair. And let me find – so his team – I can't remember the name of his team, but Team Solo Auto, that's the name of it. And he's got a friend that's got a 57 Chevrolet car he races. But Alan races the Mighty Mouse, which is a Volkswagen Beetle with a different kind of motor in it, and he's got a mouse on there, and it's got mouse ears, and that's his Volkswagen Beetle.
Wow.
But that car flies. It ain't got a Volkswagen.
Wow.
It ain't got...
Wow.
What did I tell you? What did you tell me about that? Wow. He's stupid. This guy's stupid. Don't listen to this dummy. So... All right, so let me find a better picture of the Mighty Mouse. He's got a bunch of pictures, but he races all over. So this is his team Solo Auto, the 003 and the 136. And the 003 is the one that looked like a 57 Chevrolet.
And I know he's got a better picture of the Mighty Mouse somewhere on here. He's won a lot of races.
Is that the Volkswagen, is the Mighty Mouse?
Yes. So it says Mighty Mouse on the side. That's kind of a blurry picture. But it's got a big mouse on there, and it's got the mohawk, because he has a yellow mohawk on his hair. And he was cool to interview. Me and Artie interviewed him live that night. We was getting ready for the big race at Big South. And that's what he pulled it with. He pulled it with a little car trailer. But for a Volkswagen, now, I don't recommend putting a Volkswagen motor, you know, in a car, but, you know.
Well, if they call him the Mighty Mouse, it may have a small block Chevy in it.
Yeah, because he blew one of his motors, and there's a better picture of it right there. Look at him toting that tire right there. That is cool. That little son of a gun.
It's definitely different.
It's definitely different.
I'm going to say that's definitely different.
Yeah, and he blew one of his motors, and then he had to buy another one. He's been through, I don't know how many motors. I read his post all the time. But would you race a Volkswagen there, Chase?
Heck, I'd probably race anything. Anything I could get in.
Well, that's like so.
Huh? Let everybody know, if anybody wants to be on the show, on my podcast, just reach out to me on Facebook, my personal, Chase Montgomery.
Yes. So Chase started his podcast. It's called Chasing Dirt. And isn't that what you call it, Chasing Dirt?
Yeah. My announcer at Talladega, he messaged me. He said, what's your podcast at? I ain't thought of one yet. And he just named it, Mark Hendon, Lake Mona Mark, you know? So
okay.
He messaged me and gave me some suggestions. I was like, well, that sounds like a good one.
Hey, that's cool because, look, your name is Chase, and that's actually a really catchy name, Chasing Dirt. You can tell people, say, look, my name is Chase, and I'm Chasing Dirt. So
I do really like just about.
Hey, that you like me? You look us rednecks gotta chase dirt because I mean, and we'll chase asphalt every now and then. I ain't got nothing against asphalt racing.
I enjoyed my few little times I got to race it.
I've been
look, I'll tell. Oh, you said you went to a couple?
In Michigan. I went to Birch Run, and I went to Wausau. I liked the Wausau, but I didn't care for the rules.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was good racing.
That's cool. I'll tell them it's Marilyn. And I even mentioned this on the show a few weeks ago, that I said, look, rednecks, we're going to find something to race. I don't care if it's horse and buggy. If you want to race a horse and buggy, if you want to race wheelbarrows, I'm down to race it. You put a motor on a wheelbarrow, we're going to race it.
I ain't running with it.
He said he ain't running with it.
Oh, with the first run to the CRA Super Late Model course, I got to see a truck series drive. I didn't know he came up on the stand. I go, I would have said hi. I got to see Carson Hochfeld.
Oh, that's cool. So y'all know who Carson Hochfeld is, don't you? Oh, he's a famous NASCAR driver. So Carson Hochfeld has been racing in the truck series for several years, and then he got a Xfinity series ride last year, and now he just got called up to race for Legacy Motorsports, which is a team that Jimmy Johnson owns. And he drives the number 42 car, which was the car Ty Gibbs had, or not Ty Gibbs, dead gummit. Not Ty Majewski. It's Richard Childress, is one of his grandsons.
Someone I know.
His brother's Austin.
Dillon.
Ty Dillon. So Ty Dillon had that car, if I'm not mistaken, and then he replaced Ty Dillon. And so Carson, this is no lie. I watched him win a race, his first race he's ever won is in the truck series year before last year. And when he won the race, he broke down crying on national TV and started bawling. And he told his story, and I will never forget it. And it stuck with me to this day. When he started crying, he said, look, he said, when I was growing up, I grew up with a family. We didn't have nothing.
He said, we was poor. And he told his whole story within like a minute or two. He made it short. And he's like, who would have thought a guy that come from nothing, that didn't have nothing, would win a NASCAR race in anything or just roll on any race, period. I love that kind of excitement, people that get that passionate about it, because so many times somebody wins and it's just another win and they don't even smile. And that bothers me. I'm like, I don't care if I'm Scott Blomquist and I've won 1,000 races. I'm going to be jumping up down doing cartwheels when I win 1,000 races, you know. But some people just ain't like that. But I like Carson the way he did that. So I would love to meet Carson. He's younger than – he's probably about Chase's age, if I had to guess. But.
Oh, so I was going to tell you about Spencer Hughes. He's got another ride with CM Motorsports driving the 19 car. I was hoping he was going to make the show tonight, but he didn't make it. And I'd like to see Dennis Ode make the show tonight, but he didn't make it either.
Well, darn. So y'all know Spencer Hughes, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I've met him several times. His dad, Johnny Hughes, really good people. They're just a great family. The whole Hughes family have always been so nice to me. And Spencer, I've interviewed him several times on live Southern Dirt Track Report. He's come to Tri-County twice. I've talked to him both times then. And I was so sad that he lost his ride with the team he was on, because his final car that he raced with them was the Evel Knievel Throwback Special, and it was white with red, white, and blue. Y'all know who Evel Knievel is, right? Oh, yeah. So that was cool to see his car red, white, and blue like that. So, and then he lost his ride. There was a lot of upset people. And the team, he won Rookie of the Year his first year with that team, KCM Motorsports or whoever it was. But now that he's got another ride, I did see that. I'm glad you brought that up, because he's somebody that he's won one Lucas race in his career, and I don't remember what race that was. But to beat any of those Lucas guys, you're doing something.
Oh, he drove my friend old street stock when he sold it. He won at Magnolia. My friend Neil Brown. Well, Spencer Hughes drove his car and won.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, Neil Brown. Okay. I think I follow him on Facebook. I follow Joseph Brown. That's the one I follow, Joseph Brown. I'm friends with him on there. Joseph's won a lot of races.
Yeah, they call my friend Neil Brown the X Factor downtown.
Oh, okay.
He has an X on his car.
And he's probably won a lot of races, hasn't he?
Yep. And so what the X came about was, so he didn't have a number. That night, they just put a big old black tape and made an X out of it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
That'll work.
Yeah, that'll work. So before I let you go, Jacob, you got a question for Chase on here? Anything else? You got a question for Chase?
What was the first race you ever went to?
When I was little, I've been going since I was 6 years old. It ain't here. The place is still there, but it's like a corn maze now, Garner Town.
Oh, man. So what happened with it?
It shut down like years ago, like back in 2005.
Wow, that was back in the day. I was in college in 2005. I tell you how old I am.
Why not?
And I've been to Camden as part of my second. That's where I used to go all the time.
Speedway. I have heard. I do follow Camden. Is Camden a nice track?
Yes, it's good and smooth. They're been trying to get the cushion, you know.
That's cool. So Jamie just mentioned why not. So the running joke is that I tell people, like when you go to why not, you tell people, say, look, why not go to why not? Well, why not?
Well, why not?
Oh, I ask people, Oh, I tell them where I'm going sometimes, like my parents. They're like, I'm going to Why Not, and they're not like, they don't know racing like I do. They're like, well, why not?
Yeah. That's cool. So I finally got to meet Chase. I went to Magnolia Motor Speedway, home of the Black Ice.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars that night. I finally got to meet Chase in person. We've been talking for several years on Facebook. I finally got to meet you. That was the night me and my dad was there, Miss Teresa Little, and she bought a fuel arrester for me and Robbie for her husband. But that was cool watching them sprint cars, and Chase would tell you, they set the track record a few months ago up there. I don't remember the driver's name,
Carson,
but he had a black.
You know, I thought about that night after we got off. Man. I know who it is now.
Oh, Macedo?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Carson Macedo had the black and green 48 sprint car, and he had a teammate.
41.
With him. Yeah, the 21. And I remember them announced on the thing. It's, oh, we got a new track record, the 48 of Carson. And I'm telling you, that sprint car had to have been doing 130 around the black ice.
Oh, that was that number 41, not 21.
41,
okay, yeah. And he didn't win. He got smoked in the feature. He got smoked by Brad Sweet. Brad Sweet won the race, I believe, that night.
And I thought, and dang, he looked good in the heats and stuff, but he got on. You get on that bottom at that track, you – tell it goodbye.
Yeah. So, for those that don't know Brad Sweet, he's a former NASCAR driver. He drove in the NASCAR Truck Series and did fairly good, but he left, and him and Casey Kane are on the same team together. So, I actually got to speak to Casey Kane that night. That was cool. I thought, oh, that's Casey Kane, NASCAR driver. But when I spoke to him, I wished I hadn't spoke to him when I did. I wished I'd have spoke to him before the race, because when I spoke to him, he was up there by the fence watching the races, and he come back by and said, hey, Casey, and he kind of looked at me and said, hey, how you doing? And just kind of walked on to the trailer. But they're so focused. And then I got to see Rico Abreu that night. Y'all know who Rico is. I followed Rico on Facebook, and Rico's maybe 4 foot tall, if that, 3 foot tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's short. He's super. And look, when you see him on Facebook, he is just that short in real life, trust me, because I was standing probably a few feet away from Rico, and he takes his dog with him, just like on Facebook. He takes that dog with him everywhere. And I would have loved to have met him because his wife was running his booth, merchant table. And
he's been hot lately.
Yeah.
Rico.
And so. But, yeah, that was cool. And so it was good meeting you that night. And that was a fun night of racing at Magnolia. So shout out to Dr. Dirt, Johnny Stokes for putting on a good race that night.
Yeah, it was. I liked it better the second time when I was there than I did the first time. It was better racing.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. I've been there three times maybe. But anyways, so we're getting at the end of the show, but I thank you for calling in, Chase.
Thanks. No problem.
And appreciate Chase coming on the show. Appreciate Jamie. Appreciate Gregory back there. I don't forgot your name already.
Jared Jr.
Jared Jr. That messed up.
Oh, Jacob Gregory.
Yeah, Jacob Gregory. So appreciate it, Chase. We'll see you later.
He has signed up.
Okay.
There he is.
Oh, well, shoot. Okay, well, I just went ahead and muted him. But thank you, Chase. And so we're going to end the show, so I got to play my song to end the show. If it'll play. If it don't play, you know what? I got to find the play button. There's supposed to be a play button right there. Oh, there it is. All right, well. Supposed to be playing my song. Hold up, let me hit play one more time. God, that's gonna be loud when it does play. Well, I guess it ain't. Let me try it one more time. Levi Mann. The first song that played was Rhett Walker Band. So y'all need to look him up. He's a Christian Southern rock artist, so y'all look him up. And Levi Mann's my regular song, but it's not playing. So anyways, we're going to end the show. So y'all want to say bye?
I appreciate you having us on, Jerry.
All right, we'll see y'all later. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Chase. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, so let's go end the episode. End the episode.